Roots and Shoots with Joe and Sabrina. On Afternoons, 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
Yes, the lady is in the studio. Hey, Sabby.
Hey, Joe, lady.
Ooh, you are a lady.
Yeah, I am. I am.
Even if you descend into...
Just a little rough around the edges.
We've been chatting dogs because we love dogs. Oh, and I just need to show you also, Tess sent in a photo.
Oh, my God, that's a perfect smile.
Isn't
that dog
it?
Is smiling.
And it's Boris, it's a him, and Slim has been playing doorbell songs,
yes,
sounds and driving all the poor doggos. Bonkers. Bonkers. I mean, you're very familiar with this. You've got plenty of dogs at your place who go nuts when the doorbell rings. But we were also talking about the medicinal power of honey, particularly Jarrah. Some incredible research coming out of the University of Sydney. We are seeing increasingly bacteria that's antibiotic resistant. Mm. And this research is just phenomenal.
And I remember, I don't know if you can still get them. You used to be able to get honey Band-Aids.
Did you?
Yeah. I've still got packets of them at home.
Really?
I bought a whole pile because they work so well.
I've actually
got a Band-Aid on now, but it's not a honey Band-Aid.
Yeah.
But you used to be able to buy honey Band-Aids. But, you know, I worked up in the Kimberley for 12 years and worked a lot with Indigenous people up there. They have been using honey for all sorts of things for thousands of years, and they recognise the benefits of honey. And of course, they didn't have access to any modern medicine, so it was a major medicine kit for them.
We are relearning what we knew.
Yeah,
so that's much right. Still to learn from our First Nations.
Yeah, but of course, we didn't want to know anything back then. But and it's not just that. It's even things like on the Mary tree, you know, the sap that comes out, that has really fantastic antibiotic properties. So much, 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 much more to learn.
This is a terrible story. I went to the Bottle-O yesterday and walked in.
That's not a bad story. I think that has a happy ending.
Are you Joe Trilling? Oh, God, I'm busted. I am busted. Anyway, I can't even remember why I told you that. Oh, the phone number. I said to him, you better give me a call and have a chat.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. I'll know if you don't.
Hayden in Basso recently visited a friend in South Australia who has some great bird aviaries planted with lots of interesting plants and trees, and one of them was a Taiwanese rice paper tree. He says it had these beautiful wide leaves and provides great shade for his birds, and he wants to know where he could find one or some cuttings in Perth. Do you reckon there's a nursery or a...
The only place I would think that you would be able to find it is if you go up to the Kimberley, which is probably where you go. I have not seen them. So that they are the most beautiful tree, but huge wide leaves, which indicates they require lots of humidity, lots of water, and fertile soils, none of which we have in Perth.
No, sandy desert.
Sandy desert. Maybe the Perth Zoo might have one. It's definitely worth...
And how do you propagate them?
Pay the entry, go into the zoo. Don't just go in there because you want to sneak a cutting.
And ask them, pretty please.
They do grow from a cutting and from seed. I have never seen them for sale in Western Australia, but I reckon there would be some somewhere growing up in the Kimberley. So I would ring.
Jump onto a community page up in the Kimberley and see if anybody's got one and can bring down a cutting.
And also broom tafe. They grow all sorts of exciting things.
Or we are talking to the Kimberley right this very minute. If anybody in the Kimberley has got one,
absolutely,
shoot us a text and we'll try and sort it out for Hayden. Now, Carmel, thank you for your very, very kind words. Carmel's frangipanis are not looking very happy.
No.
She's put soil conditioner, soil wetter and mulch and it's draining away. Is she overwatering them?
It's very difficult to overwater anything here in Perth. I'd say it's a heat thing.
You said that frangipanis don't like lots of water, though.
No, because
or just when when the root system's developing.
Yeah, it's only when they don't have a root system. So I don't know how old those frangipanis are. Highly unlikely to overwater them during a summer. I think it's radiated heat coming off that wall, and then there's a colour bond fence on the other side. What I would do is put up some shade cloth around them because this week it's going to be still hot.
Yeah, scorcher.
Yeah.
Scorcher, scorcher, scorcher. And Amy wants some advice. The rats are eating her oranges. She's in Darlington. Rat bait's definitely out. The bird netting hasn't worked to deter them.
Yep. She might okay. Two things. One is peppermint oil, and you could smear the skin of the oranges with peppermint oil. Just dip a sponge in peppermint oil and rub the oranges. Number two is to get strips of material, soak it in the bin cleaner stuff, phenol.
Oh.
Phenol.
Do you clean your bins?
No. But people buy bin cleaner. I mean.
Well, who's got time to clean bins?
You know, once every 3 years, I'll probably go at it with a high pressure hose, but that's as much as it's going to get. So if you wrap the material dipped in the phenol, they hate the smell of that.
There you go. Good luck getting rid of the rats. 1300 221 0025 is the number you need. Let's head to Busselton. Good afternoon, Anne.
Hello, Joe, and hello, Sabrina.
Hello, Anne.
I'm having trouble with my geraniums. Mm. They're all looking lovely and green, but not a flower in sight.
Oh, and are they the upright one or are they the trailing one?
Both.
Both, okay. Mm. So if your geraniums and they're in full sun and they are looking green and beautiful, maybe they're getting too much water and too much nitrogen.
Right.
So you go and get yourself some sulfate of potash. Don't use any other fertilizer. Sprinkle that around the base of the plant. Water it in, and then you don't need to water your geraniums more than twice a week.
Okay. Well, I don't really do that.
Okay. So maybe it's a potassium deficiency.
Okay.
And don't give them any other fertilizer and no poo either.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
The other thing is I've got two frangipanis. One's in beautiful flower. The other one, lots of green leaves and not a flower in sight either.
And how old is that one that doesn't flower?
Probably the same age as the other one.
And it's in full sun?
Yes, it is now. I've taken it away from where it was and put it in full sun next to the other one. And I don't know.
It could be a sun issue. So give it a year.
Okay. Yeah.
Just give it a year, Anne, and then see if it's going to play the game.
So can I put on some sheep poo or something?
Yeah, they love sheep poo.
Oh, very good. Okay, yeah. I'll try that.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
See you, Anne. Just very quickly, can Teresa in Mount Lawley deadhead her green hydrangea flowers now?
Yeah, absolutely. I hooked into mine because they're covered in powdery mildew. So it was time that, they got the big snip.
Get deadheading. Cece says, my dad cleans his bins. Yes, we laugh at him. Very hygienic, your dad, Cece. And, Sabby, Peter says silver chain nurses still use honey as well as silver dressings for wounds. That's
silver dressings. I haven't heard of those since Florence Nightingale.
There you go. And John has got a bee in his bonnet about the European and African bees and all the damage they do. Thank you for all your messages, John. And he says, yes, our First Nations people have for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, of course, known about
absolutely.
The medicinal properties, which is brilliant. Helen, I think, would like some advice regarding a spider plant. Hello, Helen.
Hello. Look, my question is this. I've got a scruffy-looking spider plant. Can I cut it right off, like down to its, right to the dirt?
Down to its lower regions of its bottom.
Exactly.
Nether regions.
Will that help? Will that make it bloom properly?
Helen, you can go at the spider plant with a whippersnipper down at ground level if you wish. They need to be pruned right down, I reckon, twice a year to keep them tidy. So it definitely will not kill them. If I would wait until the end of this week because it can be hot. So next week, go for it. Get your pruning shears out and Chop its whole entire body off.
it's been looking fabulous, but it's gone past the fabulous stage. And I thought, best I get some advice before I tackle it.
Yep, good job, and yes, you can.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Helen.
Yeah, toodaloo, Helen. Dawn, I'm going to come to your call in just a tick, but Linda's in Falcon, and her newly planted red flowering gum is it is not looking crackpot.
Doesn't look great. No.
It was planted where there had been a yucca that they poisoned and had the stump ground down, lots of shredded stumps still there. They've dug it up. They've mixed it with sand. There wasn't much more they could do. Could that be causing the issue? Or
I doubt it. I don't think that it's so much that. I mean, if you've poisoned it, you've probably done it just on the root system anyway. Now, the red flowering gum prefers heavier granite loamy soil, and you're in Falcon, so what I would do is clear as much of the mulch away as you possibly can. Get yourself some clay and some compost. So mix, you only need a little bit of compost mixed in with the clay, and you're going to put 20% of that mix in with the sand. They do prefer a heavier soil, and they don't like salt-laden winds.
Oh, and Falcon is very near the ocean.
Right near the ocean and very windy.
Okay. Good luck, Linda. Hopefully it cheers up. Dawn is somewhere that is fairly windy too, near Esperance. Hello, Dawn.
Hi, girls. Dawn from Gibson here.
Hello, Dawn from Gibson.
How do we know when to pick avocado, please?
Well, you don't really. So because they don't ripen on the tree, so it's very tricky. So what I do, Dawn, is I pick an avocado. I put it in a fruit bowl.
With bananas?
With bananas or apples are even better. And if it ripens within 10 days, pick your avocados because they don't ripen on the tree.
Yep, yep, no worries.
So that's okay, sort of the best indication.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
bye.
Thanks, Dawn.
See you, Dawn. Let's have a chat to Linda. Now, are you having problems with your golf balls? Is that a euphemism? Oh. What's going on, Linda?
Well, I never go.
She's not a golfing expert.
I actually hate golf. Because I can never hit the bloody ball. I take about five swings and one will make contact with the ball.
I've actually just come home from golf and it was a bit of annus horribilis, but they're not the golf balls I'm having a problem with. I've got some, I think, Pitstorium, but they're the actual golf balls. Do you know what I mean, Sabrina?
Oh, okay. So the Pittosporum. Okay. Yeah, now I'm with you. So that's the dwarf round Pittosporum.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
okay.
That's right.
I'm with you.
Look,
yeah.
Okay. Now I brought, this was probably 2 years ago. I brought 15 to go in a mass planting, you know, a long planting.
Yeah.
And anyway, I thought I did all the right thing. I, you know, put soil improver in there. And anyway, some are doing amazingly, but one by one, a lot of them are dying.
Mm.
Now, I've spent a fair bit of money on them and I don't know whether to cut my losses and because I've replanted a couple of times with a few of them.
And have they died as well?
Some have and some haven't, and I've tried more water, less water.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's disease because they do get a spot on their leaf, but I just don't know whether to cut my losses because now I've got half a hedge, you know, with
that's a tricky thing with hedges.
It is. What do you think?
Okay, so the Pittosporum golf ball, they get the Pittosporum beetle, and they also get a gall which gives them bumps, little lumps on the leaves.
Right.
Pittosporums all through Perth and Mandurah are. They're not coping with climate change. They're not coping with a hotter climate. They come from New South Wales and Queensland. I think they're finding sort of temperatures above 38 degrees very difficult to deal with. You would not be overwatering them, so you don't need to worry about that side of things.
Yeah.
I have seen a lot of the golf ball Pittosporums go downhill over the last probably the last 7 years. I don't know. Linda, I'd cut my losses.
Yeah, and just pull them out and go something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, thanks, Sabrina. It's
sort
of what I was thinking
anyway. Linda.
Appreciate your advice. Thank you.
See you, Linda. I have to apologise to Helen. Sorry, Helen. I said it so many minutes past one instead of two, and poor Helen was thinking, oh, I've got hours before school pick up, and then looked at the clock and went, oh, my goodness, no, I've got to go. Sorry, Helen. sorry. Let's head to Bridgetown. Jenny, what's happening with the ants?
Oh, Sabrina gave us a recipe for getting rid of ants, and it was borax and sugar, but I didn't get the ratio.
Oh, okay. So 1 tablespoon of borax, one teaspoon of sugar, and the other thing you can do is get some chicken stock.
Powder or liquid?
Liquid.
Mm-hmm.
And you dip you know the cotton pads you use to take your makeup off?
I've had to start using them in my old age. This has got black everywhere from my eyeliner. Anyway, sorry, keep going.
So you soak it in the chicken stock, right? And then you dip it in the borax and sugar solution so that it sticks to the pad. And then you leave those laying around.
Just don't try getting your makeup off, Jenny.
Oh, I know,
don't. Once you've done that.
Yeah. Although the borax wouldn't hurt you.
The ants might be a bit scratchy.
you don't want the ants in your eyes, no.
No.
So 1 tablespoon of borax to 1 teaspoon of sugar.
Awesome. Thank you.
See how you go, Jenny.
Good luck with that. Catherine's in Bayswater. What's happened with your grass, Catherine?
Oh, no, it's not the grass. And thank you very much for taking my call, ladies. We've got a native garden on our verge. And it abuts the footpath that runs past it.
Yeah.
So I was looking at some grasses to put along the border so that people don't walk on our native garden.
Oh, that's a great idea. So the spikier, the better.
Yeah. Well, I wanted something that might stay green, but I went to a certain hardware store that happens to have a big nursery.
Yeah.
And found them to be in pots. The Liriope mascara.
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect.
But they were $15 something a pot.
Oh no, you don't want to have to
it's a
deal
lot
with
of,
that. Yeah.
Yeah, they're, I'm going to need quite a lot of them, and I was like, "Ooh, is that? Can I have some other suggestions, please?" For something
you can get Lamandra in smaller size. You can get them in what they call squat pots.
Oh, nice.
So they will be where you find. You know the little square pots that have got little labels on them that say red hats. Don't know why they have red hats, yellow hats, blue hats. Those little squat pots, you can find Lamandra in those. Lamandra are good because they have those really spiky seeds. Other grasses that you might be able to get in re-veg size will be any of the sedges and rushes, like Isolepis.
Isolepis
and Meibeldina. Meibeldina. Isolepis.
S-I-S, yeah, Isolepis and
Meibeldina. Meibeldina.
Good luck with all that planting. And, Catherine, good on you for your native verge.
Mm,
so
yeah.
Great to keep people off it and happy planting with all of those natives. Sabby.
Yeah.
Jake in Busso wants to shout out to his father-in-law down south listening. Hello, Jake's father-in-law. He's wondering when a good time is to plant a lemon tree in Busselton and what sort of soil does he need. He's about a K from the ocean inland as the bird flies.
Okay. So great time to do it now. You need to get some cow poo, some compost, a little bit of clay, mix it all together, dig a nice wide hole because they're surface rooters. Put it in now.
There you go, Jake. Darren, how can Sabby help? I think you've got issues with your plums and your figs.
Well, not quite issues.
No.
Hello, Sabrina.
Hello, Darren.
Yeah, that was my plum court that turned into a plum tree.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
Yeah, and I got the plums off it before.
Oh, good.
Now, look, I've got a white fig, first crop too, both first crops, and last 2 weeks I've been getting figs off it.
Yeah.
But at what point, should I give them any fertiliser or something between now and next year?
Well, I would give them their last dose of fertiliser now before they go into dormancy in winter, and then you don't give any fertiliser until spring.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're going to go dormant fairly soon, but you can give them the last because they would have fruited, and so you want to give them a little bit of oomph before they drop all their leaves.
Yeah, what sort of – do you just give them super or what?
No, you'll need something more than that because that's, you know, they need nitrogen, magnesium, manganese, all the little tiny stuff, the micronutrients. So get a general purpose fertiliser, Darren.
Well, I've got a farm. I've got heaps of that sort of stuff.
I work
on a farm, sorry. I've been spreading it now, 12 ton loads at a time.
I know. You've got plenty of
super. I'll just
super.
Go and get a bucket. And get a scoop out of that and chuck that on.
Give some to us too.
What you need to do, Darren, listen.
Yep.
Go and get yourself some trace elements to add to your super, all right?
Oh, yeah.
Because your fruit trees are going to need more than just super. It's not a grain crop.
No, this is a mixture. It's got potash, it's got
a bit of nitrogen, a bit of...
Oh, you've redeemed yourself, Darren. You've redeemed yourself.
Super copper zinc, all that stuff.
Well, that's all right then, Darren. That's all right. I thought I thought it was just straight super. I was thinking, you're going to starve them to death.
Oh, ye of little faith.
I know.
Darren knew what he was doing.
I know these farmers.
Now, Joan is in Wembley Downs. Good afternoon, Joan.
Good afternoon, ladies. I have an invasion in my garden of plants that look like violets. They produce no flowers.
Oh.
But I'm wondering how I get rid of them.
Do they have a round leaf?
They've got a leaf that looks like a violet, yes.
And they take over really quickly?
They certainly do.
Okay, I reckon it's dichondra.
They're lovely though, Joan. Why do you want to get rid of them?
Oh no, these are big sort of violet leaves. They look horrid.
Ah.
And they just creep and they've invaded, they've gone through the kangaroo paw and they just keep going. And the soil where they are is very poor, very poor.
I'm trying to think what that would be.
You win a prize, Joan, because you've stumped Savvy. It doesn't happen very often. She's going to come and dig them out for you. That's the prize.
Joan, can you take a picture and text it into us?
I certainly will. No
problem. If you send me a picture, it will come to me immediately.
Right.
So to do that, can you text
000? Have you got a pen, Joan?
Yes. 0437. 0437
22 1025.
Now, do you mean I have to hang on while I'm doing that?
No.
Right, go hang up. Oh, take a phone. Take a pic, and then text it through.
Text it through, and I'll tell you what it is, and then I can tell you how to get rid of it.
That'd be wonderful. Thank you, Sabrina. Okay. Thank you. I will do that right now.
Okay, great. Good Thanks, on you, Joan.
Good on you, Joan. Peter is in Helena Valley. Hello, Peter.
Yeah, good elementary question. No, I think. I've got this, there's a eucalyptus tree at the front and there's a shrub growing over the top of it. And so it was leaning on an angle, so I had to cut it in half, okay? Now, the top has started to re-sprout.
Yeah.
Okay. And because I cut above where they were still sprouting.
Yeah.
But I want to know if I can cut it like at the halfway point.
Sorry, what tree did you say it was? A gum tree?
It's a gum tree and it's got a yellow flower. That's why I got to keep it.
Okay. I reckon it's an Erythra cori's then. Now,
whatever.
Oh, yeah. I've got a picture of it and it's tied up. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay. It was over an angle, so I've put trying to straighten it up.
Yeah. 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 I'm with you. How long's that been in the ground for, Peter?
Not sure because I bought my parents' house, so
Okay.
I would have put now, it 8 years ago, and okay. She's not fit to answer questions these days.
No, that's okay. Now, if you cut now, this particular tree does that, and it'll be really unstable. If you cut it, say halfway down below the where the branches are coming, it may or may not reshoot down there. But they right. have what's called a lignotuber at the base. So if you cut it down, leaving only 10 centimetres of the trunk, they will reshoot from that base. But they need to be, the tree will need to be around 3 years old for that to survive. Okay. Oh, great. Okay. We'll do that. Cut it down 10 centimetres of the trunk.
Okay, so right at the bottom. Excellent. That's better for me.
Yep.
Thank you much.
Bye. Okay. Thanks,
See
Peter.
See you, Peter. Now, Joan.
Oh, Joan.
Joan has come through with the good savvy.
She sent it and that mongrel bloody ground cover. Joan, I've been trying to get rid of mine in my garden beds for 4 years. It's called gotticola. And they call it the arthritis herb.
Because it gives you arthritis trying to dig it up.
My oath it does, Joan. So gotticola. Now, it's got that really waxy leaf, so there's hardly anything that kills it apart from constantly...
Digging it up.
I've tried the pelargonic acid. I've tried glyphosate mixed with oil. I've tried everything. And you need the tiniest little bit. So the only thing you can do is what I did is I put thick, like a whole newspaper, which is not very thick these days, is it?
Mm.
A whole newspaper.
Good use
and
for
then,
it, though.
Yes. It's about the only use, really. I shouldn't say that. I write for it. And then 10 centimetres of hay or straw on top and
smother
that has
it.
Worked.
Smother it. What about, have you got a teenage grandson, Joan?
You can't trust them because...
No, because they'll rip it off at the head instead of
getting
the roots
out. Yeah, and they don't get the actual stolen out that's underneath. Okay. Never plant gotticola. Don't believe people that it fixes up your arthritis. It gives you arthritis.
Okay, Joan, there's the answer. Not an easy solution. Let's squeeze in Sue's question because she's been patiently waiting. Hello, Sue.
Hello. Hi, Sabrina.
Hi, Sue.
I need help with my yesterday, today and tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's going very yellow and the bottom part of it, I cut it off to fence height about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's about 3 metres high now, but the bottom of it is green, but the top of it is quite yellow and it's losing a lot of leaves.
Oh, not a good sign. So make sure that you pull away any mulch that's around near the trunk. Sounds like a bit of a rot or a fungal problem to me. Spray it with a mancozeb-based spray. Prune off those yellowing leaves. You'll need to do that next week, not this week. Give it some trace, foliar trace element. Yep, that's about really the best you can do.
Good luck with that, Sue. Yeah. Sabby, that's it really for this afternoon. Tracy in Yanjibup says, please recommend, is it a pace
in North Fremantle.
Budget-friendly price natives, not-for-profit, real inspiration.
And they've probably got all the little things of Lamandra.
There you go. Mm. Solving problems left, right and centre. Thank you, Sabby. We'll chat next week and you'll be back with Amber on Saturday.
Indeed I will.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.